seated. This week, I've had numerous conversations about how we use our words and how accurate we are in what we say. My wife this week went away to the Monterey Youth Conference, and the speaker for the preacher for that week was Bruce Reyes Chow, who is the former moderator of the Presbyterian Church USA. And he was commenting about having a conversation with a friend, and he had used the term, which is used by a lot of younger generations, something being lame. This friend of his, though, was paralyzed. And he said, you know, when you use that word in a derogatory way, it can be about me. Interesting. We don't think about what we say that carefully sometimes and what effect it might have. In a conversation this morning with Hal, we were talking about the word starving. I'm starving. I hear this sometimes from our children in the morning when they wake up clutching their stomachs after a night of sleep. They're starving. But is that really accurate? In our situation, it's fine. Here, have a snack. We have cereal. It's ready. Check. Starving. Crisis averted. We're good. But what if I couldn't satisfy their hunger? What if when they said they were hungry, I had nothing to give them? What if I had to witness their bodies waste away from malnutrition? That's starving. It's rare for anyone in our country, I think, to have this experience. There are a few pockets, yes, but for the most part, there are ways of meeting hunger. But we do know that there are about 3 million children who die each year of malnutrition. Such a basic need as food should never be denied to anyone. It's hard to imagine with the amount of food that we throw away as in our country alone that there would be such a gap. A recent study found that roughly 50% of all produce in the United States is thrown away. 50%. And I admit to you that we are culprits in our house. Some 60 million tons or $160 billion worth of produce annually, an amount constituting one-third of all foodstuffs thrown away. Wasted food is also the single biggest occupant in American landfills. This is what the Environmental Protection Agency found. So it's hard to believe that we can stomach this idea. Such disparity in our world. What we waste, others want. Many of you have no doubt subjected to the admonishment as when you were children, when you refused to eat something for dinner. My mother can attest to this one. Don't you know there are starving children in Africa? Have you ever heard that one? Yes, you have. And that is true. There are starving children in Africa. Sub-Saharan Africa is the region with the highest prevalence of undernourishment in the world, 23.2%, or almost one in every four persons. As of April this year, more than 20 million people are now at risk of starvation and famine. The United Nations is calling it the biggest humanitarian crisis since the UN was founded in 1945. Conflict and drought are blamed for that looming crisis in four countries in Africa and in the Middle East: Yemen, South Sudan, Somalia, and Northern Nigeria. But we all know that the solution is not easily found. Otherwise, it would have been by now. Corrupt governments, lack of cultural understandings, drought, insufficient resources for growing, exorbitant costs of shipping and storing, etc., are but a few of the holdbacks from solving this problem. World hunger, though, good news, is on a decline as a whole. And yet it is, millions still die each year. What we just did a few moments ago, the sensibility offering, is an expression of our attempt to meet that need in this world. We have ongoing ministries, Feed More, Lamb's Basket. As followers of Jesus, we believe that it isn't good enough to hope that people would have basic needs met. to tear up when we read these statistics or hear these things about children dying is not good enough. We have to do things. We have to truly live out our mission statement to be the heart, voice, hands, and feet of Christ where the Spirit leads us. This means that we don't just say, be well, and not lift a finger. We respond to the needs around us and in the world. But it could be truly overwhelming. What can we possibly do that makes a difference? What can those coins dropping in that soup pot do? It can feel like plugging our finger in a breaking dam only to watch other cracks forming and you're running out of fingers and toes. Imagine, though, being part of a small group, hosting a big event, and suddenly everyone's hungry. Uh-oh, we didn't plan for dinner. Children are clutching their stomachs. I'm starving. I think my advice would be, hey, let's wrap things up before supper so they all can go to the local eateries and get something, any things they want. After all, we don't have it in our budget to feed all these folks. That sounds reasonable, right? That's what the disciples proposed to Jesus. It was way too big of a problem. But they had a solution. Everyone go their separate ways. Everyone go get something for themselves. I don't think they're being cold. I think oftentimes they're misunderstood here. They're not being calculating. They're being, in their minds, compassionate. Jesus' compassion for the crowd seems to have maybe rubbed off on them a little bit. They're not as cold-hearted as they once were. Earlier in the chapters, they would shoo people off. Don't bother the teacher. But they're getting it a little bit. So imagine their shock when instead of Jesus saying, you're right, it is getting close to dinner time. Let's wrap things up. Folks, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Now go get something to eat. No, instead he says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. We have nothing, they say. 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's nothing for probably well over 6,000 or 7,000 people. They only counted the men. But Jesus commands them to be brought to him. He then institutes the supper in a fashion that prefigures the Last Supper. Amidst opposition depicted in that previous scene in the killing of John the Baptist, with a certainty reality that Jesus is also a wanted man, he takes time to feed people. He takes what is offered. He blesses it. He entrusts it to his disciples to be distributed. This is how God works, I believe. This is the heart of the Christian faith. This is why over the centuries we reenact this supper. In this sacrament, we know that there's more going on than this one loaf and the 3 chalices. We know that there's way more going on here because Jesus takes it. Jesus blesses it. Jesus breaks it. And he gives it to us to feed a hungry world. The key is to bring what we have, the sacrament of our life. Faced with so much human need and hunger, it is natural for us to feel powerless to do anything that matters. Our resources are limited. We tend to think, imagine what Warren Buffett could do with all his money, or Bill Gates. He could make a difference. He could make a real difference. But Jesus, in his day, entrusted a bunch of nobodies. They didn't have means, they didn't have wealth, they didn't have resources, but he gave them more than enough. And he chooses to do that through you and through me. Disciples were indispensable parts of Jesus' miraculous feeding. Notice that. Indispensable. And they seemed to respond. They got it. They respond without hesitation. They were able to be part of the diagnosis of all the need, and they collected the leftovers, and now they just saw there is more than enough. Jesus gives us more than enough. They weren't privy to any prior briefing. Now, guys, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to give them to me, and all of a sudden we're going to have enough. No. There were no assurances given. It was an act of trust and faith in carrying out Jesus' words. And in that trust and in that faith, they found the power of the one who exceeds all our wildest imaginations. And so I say to all of us, let us never be intimidated by our sense of inadequacy. Jesus takes whatever we offer, he increases it, and he allows us to be reminded of just how awesome our God is. The morsel of bread we will dip in the cup is not all there is. It serves as a visual cue to the power of that Holy Spirit that magnifies God's work in and through us for the sake of those who hunger physically and spiritually. So maybe today you come here believing you don't have enough. You are spent. I say to you that Jesus is saying to you, come, bring who you are and what you have, and I will bless it. I will increase it. I will make you part of the miracle. The table today may be the place where you reset your faith on Christ. Or maybe today you are hungry. Maybe some physical challenge has used up all your resources. Jesus says to you, come, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and I will fill your life again. The table is set. There's more than enough here. There is more than enough for all of us. There is more than enough for the world. So let's take part in Jesus' feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.